We started this new sermon series last week, and it's titled The Breath of Life Under the Sun. And we saw last week as we sort of delved into chapter 1 that the preacher is really concerned and wrestling with this question of, is there lasting meaning, purpose, and satisfaction in this short life, in the brevity of life here on this earth? Can lasting meaning, purpose, and satisfaction be found? And this is a question that the preacher is wrestling with, but it's also a question that he wants you and I to also wrestle with. You know, in what or in whom are we trying to find meaning, purpose, and satisfaction in our lives? And is that really working out for you? What's the trajectory of that if you keep going? And the preacher is really wanting us to ask these hard, sometimes painful, but important questions. And starting this week, going forward, we're going to be looking at specific pursuits that you might consider. Things like the pursuit of pleasure. We'll be looking at that next week we have a guest speaker. So 2 weeks from now, we're going to be looking at this pursuit of pleasure. If I do what makes me happy, will that bring about the meaning, purpose, and satisfaction that I want? If I pursue work and career, will that do it for me? If I pursue wealth and honor, will that do it for me in terms of giving the meaning that I desire? And the preacher's going to go into these specific areas of life. And today we're looking at the pursuit of wisdom. That's a specific category that the preacher is considering. And so let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'll be reading for us in two sections, verses 12 through 18. And then we'll jump forward to chapter 2 and read verses 12 through 17. So chapter 1, 12 through 18. And then I'll read for us chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And once again, out of reverence for God's word, let's all stand and consider what the preacher says, what God says actually through the preacher to us about the pursuit of wisdom. Let me read this for us. This is God's word. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under the sun. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and is striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. And in chapter 2, verse 12, so I turn to consider wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. And I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet, I perceive that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise and as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and is striving after wind. Please be seated and let me pray for us. Father, we hear the preacher talk about wisdom, madness, and folly. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would give us an openness to consider the things that we've just read, your truth, your revelation, Lord, prepare our hearts that we might have good soil to receive your word. Oh, Holy Spirit, won't you use these words of truth, and Lord, won't you transform us? Oh, Lord God, through this time, won't you help us in our minds to be renewed and help our lives become more like Christ as these truths bear fruit in our lives. Oh, Lord God, we lift up this time to you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the main question that the preacher is asking, the main question that we want to consider today is this. Will the pursuit of wisdom bring you the lasting purpose, the lasting meaning, the lasting satisfaction that you're wanting in life? If I know more about life, if I experience more, will that ultimately help me? Will that, as the preacher said in chapter 1, will that bring about gain, any profit in my life? The more that I know, is it really the better? The more that I know, will it really help me ultimately navigate through the complexities of life? And we want to go slowly here with the preacher and consider the inquiry of pursuing wisdom under the sun. We want to think about what is the preacher trying to do as he's setting out to pursue wisdom. We want to consider the inquiry of pursuing wisdom, but also the insights. What are some of the insights that the preacher has, but also the instruction of pursuing wisdom under the sun? So we want to consider today the inquiry of pursuing wisdom under the sun, the insights that the preacher talks about here, and also the instruction of what are we supposed to do? As we're living under the sun, what does it look like for us to truly pursue wisdom and for it to be beneficial for us? What kind of wisdom should we be seeking? And so we'll be considering these three things today from Ecclesiastes. And so the preacher, he's trying to pursue wisdom under the sun. And just to clarify, as we're talking about being under the sun, he's considering, can I pursue wisdom from an earthly perspective? As I'm trying to make sense of life, as I'm trying to find meaning in work, as I'm trying to find meaning in the things that are happening in my life and around me, can I pursue wisdom from this earthly perspective, and will that be enough? Will that be sufficient? And so for so many of you guys that are either in college or going through life, aren't we grappling with this very question? Is more knowledge what I need to make sense of this current situation, with this current relationship? And this is what the preacher is wanting us to consider today. And what it really forces us to ask, it really forces us to ask ourselves, you know, whose truth, if at all, are we using to try to navigate through life? You know, as you think about pursuing wisdom and trying to make sense of life, trying to navigate through life, are we ultimately trying to use truth from our experiences or the experiences of others? Are we, as we're going through life, trying to think, okay, what worked for me in the past? What hasn't worked? What worked for this other person who seems to know what he's talking about seems to know what she's talking about? Whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in parenting. Are we ultimately using our own experiences and experiences of others to make sense of life? Are we using experts? Are we using people that have done some sort of research, have written articles? Are we using that kind of truth, that kind of wisdom to make sense of life? You know, I love to read the New York Times throughout the week, and they have this section that pops up called Smarter Living. And we talk about this section in this way, that these are stories to help you understand the world and make the most out of it. And every single day they have these different articles. And here are some of these articles that I saw in the last week or two. One article talks about how to get the most out of college. Another article says this: you need a raise. How do you start the conversation? How to beat FOBO, the fear of better options. And even in terms of parenting, which is better, rewards or punishments? And the author goes on to say, neither. And so there's so many of these sources, right, where we can turn to and look to for wisdom to help us make sense of what we're going through, to help us navigate through life. And the preacher is doing this very thing. We just read in verse 13, I applied my heart to seek and search out by wisdom all that is done under the sun. Here's a person, he's not willing to just go with the flow. He's not willing to simply to do things because people around him are doing these very things. He's not willing to settle for superficial answers. He's not willing to take things for granted. He's seeking and searching out the best way to move forward in life. And just out of the gates, this is what the preacher wants us to wrestle with. This is an important question. It's something that we can just sort of flippantly push to the side and just go with the flow. And we don't really stop and think about whose wisdom are we using to navigate through life. It's really hard for us to slow down, but the preacher wants us to join in this inquiry of life. Is the pursuit of wisdom enough? Are you on this road of thinking, man, if I center my life around knowing more, man, everything's going to be okay? Are we on this road? And the preacher wants us to ask ourselves these things. Are we telling ourselves, the more I know, the better off I'll be? Are we telling ourselves, the more I know, the better I'll be able to navigate through the maze of life? And the preacher here in this section, in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, he wants to offer some insights for those who are willing to listen. He talks about some insights. If you notice what he says in chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I've acquired great wisdom. The preacher says that he surpassed all who are over Jerusalem, all the kings that have preceded him. My heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And so this preacher, he's not wanting to share these things at the starting point, looking forward and just speculating about where these things might take him. He's saying, I've walked these decades of life. I've experienced much. I've learned much. And here are some of my insights about what I've learned. So this is the perspective that the preacher is wanting to share about insights of actual experience from wisdom. And notice what he says in verse 13. What are some insights if we are trying to make sense of life simply by trying to know more? This is what the preacher says in verse 13. It's an unhappy business. If we're trying to approach life and we're just telling ourselves, as long as I become more wise, I'll be okay. If we're telling ourselves that, the preacher is saying, you know, that's going to be a very unhappy business. Why is it an unhappy business? As we think about the vanity of vanities, the hevel, that's the Hebrew word for that, of life, man, you will not find all the answers to your questions. It's going to be an unhappy business. In verse 14, the preacher says this, I've seen everything that is done, and behold, all is vanity. There's going to be a repetitiveness. It's going to be wearisome to always have to know more. Wouldn't it be nice if we just knew a set number of principles and we can just apply those things just to all of life and everything would make sense? So often, aren't we trying to apply these principles to life and it still doesn't make sense? Don't we sometimes wish we can be like in the Matrix where things can be just uploaded into our brains to help us make sense of life? We don't have the time to grow in wisdom. And so the preacher is saying it's an unhappy business. It's going to be vanity. And he actually adds something new in verse 14. He says, all is vanity and is striving after wind. What is the preacher talking about? He's saying, if we're approaching life and saying, I just need to know more, he's saying it's going to be a striving after wind. He's saying, it's like trying to catch wind. Can you catch wind? You can catch wind in a bottle, but you open up the bottle, wind does not come out. Trying to just simply know more as you go through life, he's saying it's kind of like trying to catch wind. You're never going to have all the information that you need to make the right decisions. You're never going to be able to have the foresight to see all the factors and the variables in any sort of situation. But this whole striving after wind concept, it can be interpreted slightly differently. Some people say the striving after wind is like feeding on wind. You know, if any of you told me today after worship, you know, I'm so hungry, we should go eat somewhere, and I just told you, just swallow 100 times, you'll feel okay. If any of your kids, for those of you who have kids, are crying out to you, I'm hungry, will feeding on wind make them full? And what the preacher is saying is, no, it's going to leave you empty, isn't it? Trying to feed on wind is going to leave you empty. And so in summary, what the preacher is saying is, if you're trying to make sense of life, trying to navigate through life simply by accumulating more wisdom, but trying to know more, it's going to leave you empty. It's going to leave you frustrated. It's going to leave you unhappy. Because if you think about life, there's too many curveballs. There's too many sledgehammers to knock you off your feet if this is the main pursuit in your life. If your main pursuit is simply to grow in wisdom in this earthly perspective, there's going to be something that's going to knock you off your feet. Cancer, it's indiscriminatory. Just because you're pursuing wisdom, he's not going to give you a pass. Cancer will hit you or those you love, whether you're pursuing wisdom or not. The bad decisions of other people, as wise as you're trying to be, you will be affected by the bad decisions of others, whether you like it or not. The strained relationships, even broken relationships that we have in our own lives, simply by having more wisdom, can we avoid all of those things in relationships? I would imagine for many of us here, even as you've tried to be wise in these situations, the brokenness and the strained relationships still found you. The preacher goes on in chapter 2, verse 17 to say this, I hated life. As he's trying to pursue more wisdom to try to make sense of life, what he found himself thinking and feeling at the end of that pursuit is this in verse 17 of chapter 2, I hated life. Because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, saying it was burdensome. For all is vanity and is striving after wind. And just again to repeat what we talked about last week, when he starts talking like this, he's not saying, man, there's no point in believing in God. The preacher is not saying, man, there's no point in life. Because he goes on to say, man, wisdom is better than folly. There's good things that are worth pursuing and enjoying. He's not saying there's no point in life. What he's saying is there's no point in centering your whole life around the pursuit of wisdom as if that's going to bring you the control and the meaning and purpose that you're wanting in your life. That's what he's saying is vanity. That's what he's saying is a striving after the wind. Because what does he go on to say? Why is this the case? Why is it vain? Why is it meaningless to center everything around just having more wisdom? The preacher says that it's vain, that it's hevel, the Hebrew word, because what does he say in verse 15? What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. What is the preacher saying? He's saying there's some things in life that are just bent. There's some things in life you do not have the power to make straight, no matter how wise you are. Some things are simply just crooked. He talks about what's lacking cannot be counted. There's some things in life where God just hasn't revealed all things. He doesn't tell us the whys behind every what. Some things in life, there's no human reason that can give you the succinct and the perfect answers and the wisdom that you need. What's lacking cannot be counted. And I like what Derek Kidner, one commentator, what he says about just this verse and about the reality of life. Derek Kidner says this, no matter how the thinker ponders, he cannot straighten out life's anomalies, nor reduce all he sees to a neat system. For their sake, he remembered his covenant. Actually, that's a different thing. But it's that first half of that quote, that there's no way that a thinker, no matter how much you think, you can figure everything out. There's no way they can know everything. And think about what he says in verse 18. Why is the pursuit of wisdom such vanity, so meaningless at the end of it all? He says in verse 18 that in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. You know, sometimes the more you grow in wisdom and in knowledge, you also grow in your knowledge of your limitations. You also grow as you grow in wisdom, not only all the possibilities of what you can do, but if you grow in wisdom, if you grow in knowledge, you also grow in your knowledge of your own limitations. You know, I was thinking about Avery's, when Avery was still in my wife Bora's womb, and during that first pregnancy, we wanted to grow in wisdom. We wanted to increase in knowledge of how to best move forward in the pregnancy. And we were trying to read this one book, and it was such a discouraging book, because in this book, it was talking about all the things that can go wrong if you do this. All the things that can go wrong if you eat this. And the thing that we took away from that is, man, as we were trying to grow just in wisdom and in knowledge about this pregnancy, man, we were exposed so much to the limitations of what we should do or shouldn't do, what we could do or couldn't do. It really did bring about more vexation and an increased sorrow about what could go wrong. the limitations of what was really in our control, even as we were trying to go through the pregnancy. So the preacher is saying this, that the reality of living under the sun, the pursuit of wisdom, will at the end of it all bring you to this point of frustration and emptiness because there's a limitation to what you can do. There are limitations to what you can know. There are limitations to what you can change in life. And some of us are still disillusioned and we think, I just need to keep moving forward. But man, the preacher is saying there are limitations to this. It's going to be vanity if you keep going down this road. What's the instruction? How are we supposed to move forward? How can we pursue wisdom under the sun in a way that can be meaningful, that can be purposeful? Well, we just don't throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, you know what, this is not pursue wisdom at all. What instruction does Scripture give us in terms of how we can pursue wisdom under the sun, and what the preacher in Ecclesiastes will say later on in his conclusion is, if you want to pursue wisdom under the sun, here's your starting point. You need to fear God and his commandments. That's what he's going to go on to say in chapter 12, verse 13. And what the preacher wants us to see is that it's going to be insufficient to try to make sense of life apart from God. How do you move forward? If you're just simply trying to make sense of life on your own, what the preacher is trying to tell you and me is that that pursuit is going to be vain and meaningless if you're trying to do that apart from God. We can only pursue wisdom under the sun as we try to receive it from God, and that should be our goal in pursuing wisdom in this life. You know, I'm currently reading a book by Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's an American astrophysicist. Anyone with that kind of title, and they do that for a living, I mean, it's pretty spectacular. But he wrote this book called Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. And he's talking about the Big Bang, and that's his view on how things came to be. He's trying to make sense of life apart from God. And I thought it was so interesting the way that he was writing about his perception, his understanding of how everything came to be. And I have... It's a little bit long, but I have just a segment of it for us to read because I just want us to get a sense of what is it like for someone like an astrophysicist to make sense of life apart from God. And this is something that he says. For the first billion years, the universe continued to expand and cool as matter gravitated into the massive concentrations we call galaxies. Nearly 100 billion of them formed, each containing hundreds of billions of stars that undergo thermonuclear fusion in their cores. These elements would be stunningly useless were they to remain where they formed, but high-mass stars fortuitously explode, scattering their chemically enriched guts throughout the galaxy. I mean, even as I was reading this, it was so striking that he said fortuitously. Within the chemically rich liquid oceans, by a mechanism yet to be discovered, organic molecules transition to self-replicating life. Here's someone that's trying to make sense of life, a smart guy, no doubt. But he's trying to make sense of life. And as I think about that sort of account of how things came to be, it makes me wonder, if we're thinking things came about fortuitously, it's still unknown. He's saying there was a rich sort of ocean of carbon, and that's why things came to be. It really does make me wonder, if that's your view on life, if that's your understanding of the world apart from God, why are we even asking this question of whether it is meaning and purpose in the first place? If that's our account of why things came to be, shouldn't we be asking, why are we even asking that at all, is my point. If that's the account of why we believe things came to be, it's not an eternal, loving, life-giving God, creator, who wanted to know you, who wanted to know you to know him. If that's not our account, why are we even asking this question of meaning and purpose and satisfaction in the first place? But the Bible says, no, the God of the universe created all things by the word of his power. And so my point is this, we need to pursue wisdom under the sun as we try to receive wisdom from God, never apart from God. We need to try to make sense of life as we receive what God has to say about how we ought to navigate through life, how we ought to navigate through school, how we ought to navigate through the uncertainties of life, how we ought to navigate through suffering, how we ought to navigate through the various aspects of family and loss, to pursue wisdom under the sun in a meaningful way, what the preacher and what Scripture is trying to help us to see is we need to pursue this as we try to make sense of it as God reveals it to us. You know, trying to make sense of the world on your own by pursuing your own wisdom is trying to be your own light in the darkness. If you think about Disney movies, unless you're Rapunzel who can sing and make your hair glow, you cannot be your own light. You need to walk under light. You need there to be light in order for you to see where you're going. What the preacher is wanting us to see is we need to walk in this life under the light of God, under the wisdom of God. When we reject that, that's what he says, the fool walks in darkness in chapter 2, verse 14. Those who reject the wisdom of God, those who are trying to figure things out on their own, it's as if you're just walking around in darkness. You're trying to be your own light. And isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden? Instead of living under the wisdom of God, instead of living under the commandment not to eat from this one tree, you see, Adam and Eve reject the wisdom of God, and what happens? They become fools. They walk in darkness. So the preacher, as we're wrestling with this pursuit of wisdom, he wants us to consider, especially if you're not there, are you living under the wisdom of God? Are you living under his light? Are you allowing his truth to light your way? As the proverb says, are you leaning on your own understanding, or are you trusting in what God has revealed in his word about where there really is meaning and purpose, where there really is satisfaction? Are we trusting in what God has to say, or are we trusting in ourselves or in what others have to say? You know, as we wrap this up, I just want us to pause a little bit and think about what the preacher in Ecclesiastes says, again in this phrase, in chapter 12, verse 13, about fearing God and keeping his commandments. And we see this echoed even into Proverbs. You know, if we're thinking about pursuing wisdom under the sun, the preacher says you need to fear God and his commandments. What does he mean? If we're trying to pursue wisdom on this earth, in this life, in a meaningful way, what does it mean to fear God and his commandments? I just want us to go there and park there for just a little bit, even though we're here in chapter 1 and verse 2. Later on in chapter 12, verse 13, it says, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the starting point for meaning and purpose in life, especially even in terms of wisdom. And what the Bible teaches when we talk about fearing God, it's not fearing God and him punishing you. When Proverbs in chapter 9, verse 10 says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, he's not saying you should be just trembling in your pants, thinking God is going to punish you. He's just some judge up there just eager to dish out punishment and discipline. If that's our view of fearing God, the Bible says, no, that's not it. That's not what it means to be a Christian. That is not the beginning of wisdom. What the Bible teaches when we talk about the fear of God, that being the beginning of wisdom, that being the gateway to us finding meaning and purpose as we pursue wisdom, what the Bible teaches is this fear of God is this awe and reverence for God as Redeemer. It's this fear that I don't want to displease and grieve the one who loved me so much that he died for me. This is the kind of fear that we're talking about, that we've been loved by this God and we love this God and we don't want to grieve him. This is the kind of fear that the Bible talks. This is the kind of relationship that really is the beginning of wisdom. That out of love, not out of fear of punishment, but out of love and out of gratitude, we're wanting to obey and submit ourselves to this God and his wisdom. This is what the Bible is talking about when he talks about the fear of wisdom. And I like how this one person said this: the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, like alphabets are the beginning of reading. You know, for some of us, we became Christian, we have this relationship with God, but we've never moved beyond the ABCs. We're still simply rehearsing our alphabets as we go through life. We're at the beginning point of wisdom. You know, and that's what the Bible is saying. The fear of God, having this sort of relationship with God through faith in Jesus, that's the beginning. That's the beginning. Willing to submit yourself under God and his fatherly love and his instruction and his commandments, that's only the beginning. The question is, are you now wrestling with it, trying to learn how to read? Are you wrestling with what God has revealed in the Bible now that you have this relationship? Are you trying to grow now in wisdom, or are we simply rehearsing our alphabets as we turn 20 as we turn 30, as we turn 40? Are we growing in wisdom? And so much of Scripture speaks to this point, that as we want to pursue wisdom and grow in wisdom, as we want to receive God's wisdom and live under God's wisdom, Paul says this in Romans 12:2. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That how? Just automatically? You'll be able to discern what the will of God is? That you'll just simply wake up one day and become a wiser person? No, he says, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. If you want to pursue wisdom and grow in wisdom in a way that's meaningful, ask yourself, am I testing and trying to discern what God's wisdom looks like in this particular situation in my life? Are you doing it through testing? It's interesting what Paul says in Ephesians 5, in verse 8 and 10. As he's talking to Christians being children of light, he says this, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. It's something that you have to try to do. It doesn't happen automatically. It's by testing, but it's trying to discern what is pleasing to God. And so as we come to an end here, as we think about what the preacher is trying to say in Ecclesiastes, a question that we need to all ask ourselves is this. In what area of my life am I trying to pursue wisdom under the sun apart from God and his wisdom? In what area of my life am I trying to do that? Because myself included, there's some area of our lives where we're trying to do this that's going to lead to hevel, that's going to lead to frustration, that's going to lead to emptiness because we're trying to control something by simply knowing more. In what area of our lives are we doing that? And in what areas of our lives can we try to test and discern what might be pleasing to God? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. And again, this is the starting point. We need to wrestle with this. We need to wrestle with this together. We need to ask ourselves, are best-selling help books navigating and giving me more wisdom about life, or is it the Word of God? Are certain articles on Facebook, are certain opinions and things that friends say, is that have more bearing in my life about what I should do with my life, how I should move forward, or is it God's Word, God's wisdom have more bearing? For some of us who are parents here and you have children, are you trying to instill in your children the importance of pursuing wisdom under the sun at the expense of fearing God, at the expense of trying to teach your kids what it looks like to rely on God and his wisdom? Are we pushing our kids and setting themselves up for frustration and emptiness? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves even as parents. What are we really pushing? Are we pushing our kids to pursue wisdom under the sun? Or are we pushing our kids to grow in wisdom above the sun? My hope and prayer, living faith, is that as we pursue wisdom, that we wouldn't simply do it under the sun in the ways that the preacher talks about in Ecclesiastes. But my hope and prayer is that we would all grow in our understanding of what God's wisdom looks like in the various aspects of our lives, and that we ultimately can find meaning, that we ultimately will find purpose and satisfaction as we submit ourselves to the wisdom of God. That's my hope and prayer. Let that be your hope and prayer as well. Let me pray for us. Father, we come before you, and there are so many questions in life. There's so much uncertainty in life. There's so many things that we have to navigate through. And Lord, help us. Give us the humility. Lord, give us the awareness to, through your Holy Spirit, to see what ways we're trying to navigate through life on our own. In what ways we're simply trying to navigate through life using the wisdom under the sun. Lord, open our eyes to these things so that we might desire truer, richer truths, richer wisdom, where we might really submit and turn to you and your wisdom to help us navigate through life. Oh Lord God, we thank you that the preacher in Ecclesiastes really forces us to wrestle and grapple with this question. Oh Lord God, help us to bear fruit in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.